this morning. Our visitors, welcome you to being in the service today. And all of our returning visitors I've met, folks met for the first time. Boy, I tell you, it's just good to see everybody here. And I know, folks, if you've invited your family, I know you're excited about them being here. And just good to be in the service today. This morning being our homecoming service. What is homecoming, preacher? This is what we practice for our real, true home going. And that's what it is. That's what today is all about. I do have to mention one visitor here this morning. If I don't, I'm sure I'll be in trouble. And that's my mother. Good to have her in the service here today. And thank God for that. Amen, amen. You might just say I wouldn't be here without her. Amen right there. So thank God for that. Indeed. Let me just say, by way of a few announcements again, just welcome everyone today in the service. So good to see everybody and to meet you for the first time. And do let me say, if you don't have a home church, if you don't have a church where you faithfully attend and serve the Lord out of, we desire to have you here at Valley View Baptist Church. You can come and visit with us and see if you enjoy it here, enjoy the preaching. And as we say, if God wants you here, we want you here. You find a place, if you're saved, you find a place to serve God and get in here. We're drawing close to this thing. The world's growing terrible. It's growing dark out there. And we need to get closer to God than ever before. For our nation, for our families, for our children, for generations to come. To have folks be able to stand in honor and respect of that flag. All due because what Jesus did for us under that flag. And hold the Word of God high as a standard in our lives and our churches. And certainly thank God for that. Let me just say, by way of praise and thank you to the Lord, Miss Debbie went for her report this week and got a report of cancer-free. Amen. So we thank God for that. What a blessing. And what a joy. We've been praying for her in that. Thank God for that. I know other folks have been sick and out. Good to have them back in the service today. Again, a joy and a blessing. Everyone's invited to stay if you can right afterwards. For the meal that's prepared over in the fellowship hall, and thank everyone who's worked hard and fixed and all to make the day possible. What a blessing and joy it is. Visitors first. If you're visiting, you get to go first in line. Now listen, if you don't go first, if you hem-haw around, if you don't know what hem-haw around means, ask somebody. If you're from the city, we'll direct you what hem-haw means. But if you don't hem-haw around, you've missed your chance. Yeah, Baptist is ready to eat, say amen. Amen. We're ready. And this being our homecoming service, of course, there'll be no service this evening. So after we eat, it'll be adjourned for the day. But again, thank y'all so much for being here. Now, if you have your Bible, open it to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25 this morning. Matthew chapter 25. Be preaching a text this morning. Matthew 25, verse 1. We'll read down through about verse 13. If you found your place there, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Matthew chapter 25, verse 1. The Bible says, "Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 of them were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. And while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. While they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour when the Son of Man cometh. Amen. And I want to preach a message this morning entitled, When God Closes the Door. When God closes the door. If you look there again in verse 10, when the bridegroom came, those that were ready were bid. They entered into the marriage in our story. And then the Bible says, and the door was shut. People today are fooling themselves. Folks think that they have time to get right with God. Folks believe that they could live on forever. I've got tomorrow. I've got next week. Folks never realize that they could die today. Amen. Folks never stop to realize or believe truly in their hearts that Jesus is coming again. We are fooled. This generation is fooled. Folks say, well, maybe next week. Family members invite them to church. You try to talk to somebody about the Lord and they'll say, well, maybe next week. You know, I'll be there next week. But I'm here to tell you on the authority of the Word of God, next week never comes. Folks will say, well, maybe one day. Now, I'm going to get right with God. I'm going to get right one day. We have a family member, Gail and I, that explained to us many, many times as we witnessed to him that he's going to get right with God right before he dies. That'll never happen. It'll never happen. Folks say, well, when I get my life right, then I can start church and start things with God. And maybe then I can. It's never going to happen. And the sad thing is, many folks say, I'm right with God. Don't worry about me. God knows my heart. I'm okay. We're not okay. We're not okay. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, 2 says, for he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in a day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. You see, when God shuts the door, it's shut. The one who has opened the door of salvation is the Lord Jesus Christ. Preacher, what is the door today? It's standing wide open. The door today to salvation couldn't be any wider than it is today. Because we're here. We're all breathing. We're alive. We're on the top side of the ground, so to speak. But if God requires your life this afternoon and you've not trusted Jesus Christ, I promise you the door of salvation has shut upon you. If the Lord calls out His church this afternoon and raptures out the church, that door of salvation is closed to those who have rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. Thirdly, you and I in a lost state. I'm comparing myself to a lost man. A lost man. We either are lost. We can shut the door on God. When God knocks on the heart's door and says, please, trust me as your Savior. And you and I begin to make excuses and say, I won't this time. Maybe next time. And we shut our heart's door to the Lord. Every time you reject the Lord Jesus Christ, our hearts, your heart becomes harder and harder. It doesn't get softer. It gets harder and harder. And if you're saved today, you can thank God for the moment you trusted the Lord Jesus Christ. The very moment that you truly opened your heart's door and allowed the Lord in. So I want you to listen this morning as I preach seven things from this passage of Scripture when God shuts the door. And again, I want us all to see and really pay attention now. Focus on what God has to say. Focus on what God has given us here out of the text. How wonderful. We're going to see the grace of God, the mercy of God. We're going to see the love of God, the long-suffering of God. But don't ever forget this. The same God who loves and died for you and I on Calvary's cross is the same God who will shut the door and judge those without Jesus Christ. Folks say, I want the love of God in heaven. I like all that. But don't tell me about hell and my sin and the way I'm living. Well, you see, you can't separate the two. Because God must judge the sinner. And as a matter of fact, when man dies, all God is doing at the time of death is giving man what he wants. If you've trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, God will accept you into His glorious heaven. But if you've rejected His Son, I'll have nothing to do with Jesus. If you are lost and you die in your sins, God will have nothing else to do but to give you exactly what you want. And that's to deliver you to hell in a lake of fire. And I'm here to tell you this morning, nobody, God doesn't want to see anybody, man, woman, boy, or girl, anyone, anywhere, die and go to hell. But I promise you and I warn you this morning as a man of God, if you let that door shut, it will be shut. If you let that door shut on you, the choice of salvation, that freedom to be saved, it will close. Now, we all know and understand what it means to have a door of opportunity closed on us. You say, well, I missed that door. I missed that window of opportunity. If you youngins are fixing to sign up for college, you've only got a short window to do so. Where I work at insurance, there for the insurance of my company, there are windows of opportunities. And Jesus Christ gives us a wide open door as He stands with His outstretched hands begging the folks, pleading, why not today? Let's bow our heads and pray this morning. Preach this message, the text here, when God closes the door. Father, we pray this morning we need You in the service today. Father, I pray in tender love and mercy and hearts. Lord, only as You can, search each heart that's here. Father, I pray You, we thank You and rejoice. Everybody that's come out today that are here, Lord, all of our brothers and sisters as we gather around in fellowship, Lord, maybe there's one. Maybe there's somebody here today that's never trusted You as Savior. Father, I pray, speak to that heart while this door of salvation opens and remains open today. And Lord, let all of us see that are saved, see how tenderly loving You are from the Scripture today and how wrong that man is. Father, I pray, join us in the midst. If you're not here, all of this is in vain. Father, I pray, use me as Your man. Preach today in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. What a wonderful thing it is as we look to our text this morning. Number one, I want us to point out the good intentions of men. Men have good intentions. Everybody you've ever talked to will say, well, maybe one day. Well, I'll get to it one day. If you've ever tried to start a diet, you know what I'm talking about. Yeah, I'll get it started one day. Maybe, I don't know what it is about January, but that's the biggest flop day of the whole year. We lie more about January than we do any other day of the year. I'm going to start this, redo this, exercise this, and what happens? It doesn't ever happen, does it? No, it doesn't ever happen. Well, notice this in verse 1, the good intentions of men. The Bible says that as He likened this passage of Scripture to the kingdom of heaven, He said there's 10 virgins who took their lamps and they went forth to meet the bridegroom. They had good intentions. We're going one day. We're going to meet Him. They all had the same intention. Now, if we look at this passage of Scripture, all 10 of them had lamps. They all had a lamp, every last one of them. And they all, 10 of them, went forth to meet the bridegroom. All men have good intentions. Now, I don't want us to remember in our passage of Scripture that the lamps that they had, that's the soul of man. Everybody has a soul. If you're born today, if you're alive, you have a soul. And your soul is going to remain forever, either in the lake of fire or in eternity of heaven with the Lord Jesus Christ. The soul of men. We have lamps. Everybody has a soul. And it says they went forth. Everybody has ideas about religion. Everybody has an idea of how we're getting to heaven. Or what's going to happen when you die. I witness to many folks at work and I talk to them and I say, hey, are you saved? And they say, well, I just live my life. Well, that sounds real good, but what happens when you die? Amen. We all have a soul. We all have an idea on how to get to heaven. And I'm here to tell you this morning, there is only one way on the authority of the Word of God, and it is the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You can cut it, slice it, dice it any which way you want. You can say, well, I don't believe in Jesus, and you've decided your way. Men have good intentions. Number two, look how God sees the spiritual condition of mankind. Well, I know there's studies and people have ideas, and we look around our areas and our communities and say, well, you know, this is a pretty good place to live. But how is it that God sees mankind? How does God see us? Well, God sees us in one vision only, and that's a spiritual kind. As a matter of fact, when we look at the next verse, in verse 2, God says this about those 10, though they all had a soul, they all had a lamp, they all had good intentions of going to meet the bridegroom, the Lord in His spiritual view said this, 5 of them were wise, and 5 of them were foolish. Isn't it amazing when God sees us how we are, we truly are. When God sees us, as you can say, the old timer, how you is, you is. How you is, you is. How is you? Well, how we is how God sees us. And I don't know about you, but I want to get a good checkup from God. Say amen right there. I want a good checkup from God. And I want to know what He has to say. That doctor can say you're looking good, walk out of the doctor's office and fall flat dead in the waiting room. Hey, but when God says you've got it, honey, whoo, you've got it, I'm here to tell you. Amen. The spirits, five were wise and five were foolish. Why? Look at verse 3. He tells us why the foolish were foolish. He said, they that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. Then in the very next verse, verse 4, the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. You see, five of them were prepared and five of them were not prepared. Five of them were ready to meet the bridegroom and five of them were not ready to meet the bridegroom. You see, the fact of the matter is the oil is the Holy Spirit. All throughout our Bible, oil is a picture and a type of the Holy Ghost of God, the Holy Spirit. And what Jesus saw here, the spiritual condition of these five that were wise, five that were foolish, five that were ready, if I could say, and five that were not ready, the difference is that five of them had the Holy Ghost living inside of them. And five of them had no oil, they had no Holy Spirit living inside. Preacher, how do I know if I have the Holy Spirit living in me? If you've been saved and have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, if you have truly been born again. Now, I don't mean a mockery of God. I don't mean this half in, half out. When you're talking about hell, some folks better get right with God and get serious about this thing. Because God, everybody you talk to today is saved and right with God. But only God knows. Five foolish that had no oil. They hadn't trusted the Lord. There was no Holy Spirit with them. But notice again in verse 4 that the wise took oil in their vessels. You and I are nothing but an earthen vessel. There better be some God, some Holy Spirit inside of us. Jesus said in John 3:6, that which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. Now I want everyone to hear this, Matthew chapter 12. Verse 31 and 32, if you don't think it's important about the Holy Spirit, if you don't think knowing Jesus and being filled with the Holy Ghost, listen to this as I read Matthew 12, verse 31 and 32. From the Lord Jesus Christ, wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. Matthew 12, verse 32, and whosoever speaketh the word against the Son of Man, what Jesus is saying is you can cuss me all you want to. You can take the name of the Lord in vain and I will forgive you. But watch this. He said it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. If you reject the Lord Jesus Christ and the offer of Almighty God for salvation, if you reject that, you have rejected the Holy Ghost and His work in wooing your heart to God. And if you reject the Holy Ghost, there's nothing God can do, neither in this world or the world to come, to keep you out of the lake of fire. Amen. Men, preacher, you don't know what I've done. You don't have to tell me God can forgive you of every sin. Preacher, you don't know how mean I've been. Thank God He saves old sinners. Amen. Hey, honey, you listen to me. The Bible says where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Amen. But if you reject the Holy Ghost offering of the Lord Jesus Christ, there's nothing God can do. God who created all and God who is able can do nothing for the soul of man who will take no oil in his vessel. The one who's not prepared when Jesus comes. The one who's not prepared when death comes. We must trust this Holy Spirit. You must receive and be saved. Number 3, in verse 5, I've called this the great delusion. The great delusion. The Bible says in verse 5, while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. You see, every generation has mocked at the preachers because every generation has pointed to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, it's went all the way back, the Bible records, to Enoch, the Bible said, who was the seventh from Adam, who preached the Lord cometh with 10,000s of His saints. Hey, listen up, honey. It's not a message that was made up today or yesterday or a few years ago. It's a message that God said, amen. That God promised that I am coming again. Amen. And if God said He's coming, Miss Maxine, whoo, guess who's coming? It is the Lord. But the great false belief, the great delusion is that while the Lord tarry, preacher, why is the Lord waiting? Why hasn't He come? Well, watch this. 2 Peter chapter 3 and 4, the Bible says this. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts and saying, where is the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. Verse 5 of 2 Peter 3 says this, for this they willingly are ignorant of. You see, man has a delusion of the Scripture. The problem with folks that's lost is they don't believe the Word of God. Amen. You do not believe the Word. Well, preacher, you just don't know. I know I'm not saved, but I believe God. No, you don't. You don't believe one word in God's Word. Because if you believe this, you'd believe God. Preacher, you sure about that? You remember what Jesus told the Pharisees in His day when they went on to talk about Moses and they were Moses and they followed Moses and they read after Moses? Jesus said, you don't believe Moses and you don't read after him because Moses wrote of Me. That's what He said, Brother Burley. Moses wrote of the Lord Jesus Christ. Folks don't believe the Word of God, the great delusion. They slept. They slumbered. That's where our nation is it not? They're asleep. They're slumbered. They don't believe it. They're in a great delusion. They don't believe the Word of God, the delusion of Scripture. There's a delusion of time. They all slept in slumber. Man needs to get right, stay right, and finish right. Say amen. I mean, get right with God, get in church and stay right with God, and don't worry about finishing right. Because I promise you this morning on the authority of the Word of God, honey, if you're not saved, you will die in your sins. If you don't trust Jesus Christ, if you're not ready, a great delusion. Then the last of this great delusion, listen to me, there's a delusion of comparison. So many folks that are lost will look across the room at somebody that they know is a Christian, or that they think's a Christian, and they say this, well, if they're going to heaven, I am too. That's the delusion of that comparison. And I've never understood it, but why do they pick out the worst Christian they know? Why don't they pick out somebody that's really right with God, a dear saint of God, somebody who loves God, a man of God who stands and preaches the Word of God? Why don't they ever compare themselves with them? See, the fact of the matter is, we don't compare ourselves with each other. Neither does God compare you with somebody else. God compares us with what His Son did at Calvary's cross. Preacher, all I see in that cross is an old rugged, old emblem of church. All I see at Calvary's cross is love of God flowing towards me. Thank God that the love of God, the mercy of God, the blood sacrifice that washes away our sins, it was to usward. The great delusion is that they sleep, they slumber. And folks today are asleep. They don't think this is going to happen. I've got tomorrow. I've got forever. I don't need to get right with God. God said, remember, now is the appointed time. Now is that day. If you put it off to tomorrow, tomorrow will never come. Never come. Notice this in the glorious jubilation. Look at verse 6. I'm talking about business picked up. Everybody was asleep. Everybody was snoring. Everybody was slumbering. Nobody really was looking for the Lord. But look at verse 6. And at midnight, whoo, and nobody was, every good, decent American Southern is in bed at midnight. Say amen. Except for us, it's got to work at midnight. Yeah, and we up all night. Hey, man, they are asleep. But at midnight, now that's when you least expect it. You do a Bible study one time of what happened at midnight all through your Bible and you'll find out how God really works. At midnight, watch this, there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. There was a cry made throughout, the bridegroom's coming, the bridegroom's coming, the bridegroom's coming. Go, go, go. The grand jubilation, being excited. I don't know about you, but if you're saved, I'm waiting for that sound. I'm waiting for that cry. I'm looking forward to that cry. I'm ready for that cry. Go out to meet Him. I can't wait to meet my Lord and Savior. Well, we've sung this morning about the Lord. We read about the Lord. We pray about the Lord. We're excited about meeting Him. I can't imagine that day when the Lord Jesus steps out and says, "Hey, honey, y'all come on home. Come on home." What a time of jubilation. It is a grand declaration that Jesus is coming. That Jesus is coming. People declare that Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. Preacher, people said that forever. It's the truth. He's coming. He is. He is coming. And the great invitation is, go ye out to meet Him. Now I want you to see the love and mercy of God in this passage of Scripture. In verse 1, they all had went forth to meet Him, but something happened and they slept and slumbered. And now we find the invitation in verse 6 to go out to meet Him. Did you see here that God in His mercy and grace is bidding everybody to come? He's been to everybody. Doesn't matter who you are, what you've done, how far you are gone. Preacher, I don't need to know. God has open hands bidding you to come. Come. For that grand jubilation, He's bidding you to come. To come. Go out to meet Him. Come. Preacher, you're saying, "I can get saved today. I can truly get saved." If you allow the Lord in your heart, you can trust Jesus Christ today. Amen. Amen. And be saved. Be forgiven of your sins. And God will change your life forever. Amen. Amen. Number 5, watch this. The lacking provision. The lacking provision. Look at verse 7 through 8. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. They all jumped up. The good intentions is still there. They all jumped up. They trimmed their lamps. Now, we don't trim lamps much anymore. But what happened spiritually is when they got up, here's where the Holy Spirit comes in. Do they still have oil, or has the oil run out? You see, the problem is the oil doesn't run out. You can't lose your salvation. If you've truly trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, the oil doesn't run out. The problem is that men's hearts today are wicked and they've never been saved. Yeah. Well, preacher, I made a profession when I was about 8, but now I'm 60 and I just live like the devil. What do you think? Honey, you don't have to tell me. You don't have to have me to tell you what I think, because you already know what you think. You know you're not living right. No, you're not. The lacking provision, the foolish lamps. The Bible tells us in verse 7, when they trimmed those lamps, the foolish, in verse 8, said to the wise, "Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out." When the cry came, time to go, the oil was gone. The lamps had went out. They had no oil. They weren't ready. They weren't ready. They're lacking provision. The lamp, if you remember, that's the soul of men. The oil is the Holy Ghost. And men without the Holy Spirit is the same as these that were seen without oil. It went out. Time was up. You see, folks don't believe that time will run out on us. We all believe here in a moment we're going to eat over here. Then we're going to go home with our families. We got plans for this afternoon, or plans for the week, and all that. We're making plans for next year and year after and year after. But God says, you may not have this afternoon. May not have. And if our provisions are lacking, it is sad. John chapter 3 says this about lost man and his lacking provision. The lamp without oil is like a soul without Jesus. It will go out. Listen to me and listen to me close. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. If you've not trusted Jesus, the Bible says we're condemned already. Not waiting to be condemned, condemned already. Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. You know why folks love the world more than they do church? Because they love what's out there more than they do what's in here.
That's
right. But I promise you, you can't go out there and find God. We drove by the King Fair last night, and they went but 3 cars in the parking lot. I'm lying through my teeth. They were packed in that King Fair. I mean, every inch of grass had a car on it sideways. They were up and down every road, every side road. They were walking from up the hill a mile away. They were dragging people. They were pushing people. I saw a man, had one arm, was carrying a big bag, and they were dragging stuff just to get to the fire. And you know what broke the preacher's heart? Made tears show up my eyes. I said, boy, if they just want to get to Jesus like that, if they just want to get to church like that and hear the preaching of the Word of God, if they just had that much love for what's in here as they do for what's out there, hey, but they're staying out there because their deeds are evil. They don't want the light. They don't want God. You've got an opportunity this morning to get it right with God. Let God search your heart. Where is your true desire? Folks can be sitting in church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night with combed hair and a Bible with your name on it and fall right off into hell. Preacher, how's that possible? It's not where your foot is. It's where your heart is. It's not who has you. It's the Lord Jesus Christ and what's in us. Amen. Amen. Listen to this, Proverbs 24. I'm talking about the lacking provision for the lost. Listen to this. Proverbs 24:20. God declares this. Proverbs 24:24. There shall be no reward to the evil man. The candle of the wicked shall be put out. There's no reward. Evil man, a man who's lost, has nothing to look forward to. Nothing. Millionaires and billionaires die. I'm taking it with me. I'm going to bury it with me. Oh, no. You came in this world naked, and that's how you're going to go, without a pocket to carry it in. God declares that the candle of the wicked shall be put out. Verse 10, what's the final conclusion? Look at verse 10. The final conclusion, the last part, the Bible says, while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him. Hallelujah. Say amen right there to the marriage. And the door. And the door. Who shut the door, preacher? God did. And the door was shut. The final conclusion is, when God says it's over, it's over. Jesus said, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He started this thing up, and I promise you, He's the one going to shut it down. He's the one who opened the door of salvation. Thank God. That's how you got in that door. The day you trusted Christ, you came in that open door. Thank God to that. Amen. When God shuts that door. Whoo! And I love hearing y'all's testimonies about when you got saved, where you was. You may not remember where you was, how old you was, but every testimony is genuine and unique, and how good. I like to hear them. Amen, amen. But the final conclusion, when the door was shut, Jesus said in Revelation 3:7, he that openeth and no man shutteth and no man openeth. Well, preacher, I'm my own man. I can do what I want to. That Satan has fooled you with that, because that's what he told Adam and Eve in the garden. He said, if you disobey God, you'll be a God yourself. And everybody wants to do their own thing today, don't they? Youngins have little stickers on their windows. No fear. And I said, boy, if they knew God, they fear. I'm a preacher who preaches the Word of God and tries to live right every day. And I'm here to tell you this morning, I fear God. With a holy reverence and fear. I fear God for the judgment that's fixing to pour out on our nation, our country. I fear for the judgment of God that's fixing to pour out on families and churches. I fear for what's fixing to take place in this world, in America that we call our land of plenty, that has rejected God. This great conclusion, the final conclusion. Look into verse 11 and 12. Afterward came also other virgins saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. They were knocking and they were knocking. Please, please, Lord, please open. Notice they didn't call their friends and family to open the door. You see, when God shuts the door on you, you know who shuts that door. Did you see that? They said, Lord, Lord. They knew He shut the door. They knew He did. Men that are lost, you know. Romans chapter 1 says you'll be without excuse when you stand before God. And folks will come to church and hear the preaching of the Word of God. And I know this kind of preaching isn't like in every church today. Hey, this is good old-fashioned, old-timey, Holy Ghost-filled preaching that'll get you saved from a devil's hell. Amen. Now, we don't like them churches where they just have the easy music. The preacher tells you everybody's okay and how rich you're going to be and how happy you're going to be. And you just sit and hum and things are going to be all right. He's lying to you and taking your money. He's lying to you. A real man of God will tell you what's the truth. He'll tell you what'll help you. What'll help you. They cried, Lord, Lord, open to us. Verse 12. But he answered and said, I hope you're looking in your text. Verily I say unto you, I know you not. God requires your life. The rapture takes place. When you stand before God, if you've never been saved, God's going to say, depart from me, ye that work iniquity, into the lake of fire forever and ever. God doesn't know you. God doesn't know you. Preacher, that can't be so. God does not know you. If you've never trusted Jesus Christ, you know the void that's in your heart. You know the void that's there. God wants to fill that void, not a part, all of it. And He can put a sign on your heart that flashes, no vacancy. No more room. People try to fill that loneliness, that void in their heart and their lives with drugs and alcohol and illicit relationships and power struggles and sports and all these things. But if you've ever been saved, you know as a testimony as well as I have, nothing can fill that void in your heart. Nothing but the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you're saved, you can say, whoo, I'm glad He's there. Amen. Number 7, watch this. Are we done? Number 7, last, this is God's salvation. Preacher, all that sounded bad. That was horrible. I don't want to die and go to hell. Well, I'm here to tell you this morning about God's salvation. The door's still open. It's not there. You see this door over here that's open? It's cracked. See the door over here? Everybody see this? It's open, isn't it? I can go in. Somebody's opened the door. It's there. Sometimes you may go to mom and daddy's house and they say, what? Y'all come on in. What do they say? The door is open. Because why? Because they know you. They know your voice. That's my grandbabies. Oh, they're here. That sorry daughter and son of mine finally brought them by sometime. And you get all excited. You get happy, you get peppy. Because somebody on the other side of the door knows your voice. They left the door open for you. Hey, they know who you are, but somebody they don't know like me shows up. Hey, anybody in there? The lights go off. Music goes off. But they can't shut them little dogs from barking up. They in there trying to strangle Sparky, get him to hush, sticking him under the arm. Say amen. Hey, why was the door shut on me? Because the person on the other side didn't know who I was. How many of y'all would open a door to a stranger? Nobody. I have kind of a problem. I work for FedEx. So a lot of times if I leave work and I've got to stop this, if I come to see you, I look like the FedEx man standing there. Oh, he's delivering another bomb. Thank you. But you'll open that door because you know it's your loved ones. Been waiting on them. Been looking for them. And I want everybody to know this. Listen to Preacher Steve. Whether you're lost or saved, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. That whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. See, God has bid that invitation to everybody. Everybody. He doesn't want any to perish. 2 Peter 3:9, the Bible says God is not slack concerning His promises as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish. Miss Sylvia, can I borrow your hand?
Yeah.
How you doing, sweetie? That was a beautiful song you sung.
Oh, thank you.
Let's say we out in a boat fishing for crappy. Unless you're from Texas and say crappie, we'll pray for you, but it's crappy. It's crappy. She falls out of the boat. I grab her hand. And I got your hand. And guess what? I ain't letting loose. I'm not going to let loose because I want to get her back up in the boat. I love her. I took her with me. I want her to get in the boat. But all of a sudden, she lets go of my hand. I'm trying to get her in. She lets go. And wave goodbye at me. And she says, I don't have nothing to do with you. I'll see if I can get the boat myself. I'll see if I can make it on my own. Don't worry about the boat you've brought. I think I can swim to shore. You see, Jesus stands there with those outstretched hands this morning and that door. Why? He wants to have you come in. He wants us to be saved. He's long-suffering to usward. He is not willing that if you die, if you perish in your sins, if you leave here this morning and you turn your head and snub your nose at Jesus and say, I'll have nothing to do with Him, you've let loose of the hand of God, the loving hand of God that has a big old nail print right here in the middle where He was nailed to that old rugged cross to die for the sins of men. You see, God commendeth His love to usward, not willing. Hey, He wanted all of us to be saved. God hath commended His love to us, to you and I, to us. And while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, for me, for Steve, for the ungodly. The Bible says, neither is there salvation in any other. For there's none other name under heaven whereby we must be saved. It's the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said this in John 10:9, and I am through. He said, I am the door. If any man enter in, he shall be saved. Heads bowed and eyes closed this morning. I ask you, and the Holy Spirit pleads this morning, as the Holy Ghost makes His way up and down aisles, I ask you this morning, with the open door of salvation, where's your heart? Where's your heart? Listen, don't get right with me this morning. Don't get right with the church. Get right with God. Get right with God. Survey your life. Survey your heart. Survey your desires. Look at your life in the last week or month or so. Where have you been? Look at what you've done, what you've seen, what you've heard, what you've talked about. That door is open. The loving hand of God's extended. God wants to save you this morning. And if you're saved, you know the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're ready when the bridegroom comes, would you lift your hand high and say, Preacher, I know the Lord Jesus Christ is my Savior. I know I'm ready. Thank God, thank God. Hands all over the building. Hands everywhere. Thank God for that. But maybe there's somebody this morning that the Lord spoke to. You're what this is all about. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, if God has dealt with your heart this morning, if you'd like to get saved, would you say, Preacher, I'm the one God spoke to this morning. I'm not ready. Would you raise your hand and say, I need to be saved? I'm not coming to you. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to call you out. I just want to pray for you. Would you raise your hand and say, Preacher, I need to be saved. I need to get right with God. God knows my heart. I need to get right. While Miss Maxine plays the hymn of invitation, everyone stand right before we go. The door is open. The door is open. The door is open for salvation. Won't you come this morning and trust the Lord? Maybe you are saved and you just need to get things right with God. You need to get in church and get right. This thing about God's serious. This thing about the Lord. Salvation and mercy and grace and love and peace, long-suffering. All that's fixing to come to an end. And the judgment and wrath of Almighty God is fixing to be poured out upon the earth. Upon our nation, upon our lands. Perhaps you are saved and you've got family members that are lost. Pray for them. Pray for them. Go get them. Bring them to church. Drag them in. Here, somewhere where the gospel is preached clear and loud, that folks may be saved.